Greetings to all lovely children of Bap Dada. We have to be like Father. So just as Father gives self-introduction, I will give my own introduction. The name of the body is Brij Mohan Bhai. I am one of the three Trinity brothers here in Bharat, youngest of the three, Nirvair Bhai, Ramesh Bhai and Brij Mohan Bhai. Most of the time I live in your future capital of the kingdom, Delhi, which used to be called Indraprastha in the Satyuga, and I also come here for all the other programming, committees, meetings, etc., etc., in the headquarters. You perhaps know that there is a ORC, not RCO, but ORC, Om Shanti Retreat Center, near to Delhi, about 60 kilometers from the capital and 40 kilometers from the airport. So that is also Baba's big complex like Gyan Sarovar. So there also I do my some services like that it is. And they also introduced me as editor of Purity magazine, which you might have read, some of you. If you desire, I can give you a copy at the end of this. And also, for the last 50 years, I am Baba's child. I became Baba's child in 1955, when there was only one center in Delhi. Now there are 103. And there were only 9 centers in Bharat and no centers overseas. So I have seen our Baba's work grow. Most of the Dadis, Dadi Prakashmani, Dadi Gulzar, they have lived in our house, so-called Laukik house, because there became the second center of Delhi. So I had the benefit of growing with Baba's work, Baba's service, living at Baba's center. By profession, I was a chartered accountant, and I started practice as a chartered accountant in 1956, at the age of 21. But then I came to Madhuban, and Baba told me, Brahma Baba, you have to tell lies, etc. in this profession. So leave your practice and better have a government job. So as per Shrimat, I took a government job as a chartered accountant in a big corporation. And for 70 long years, I was there in the Punjab. And then first building of the Brahma Kumaris were purchased in 1972. Prior to that, we only had rented houses excepting Mount Abu. But then the circumstances changed. The landlords starting, prices started rising of real estate. So all people decided to have their own big or small premises so that we are not asked to shift off and on. So the first house was purchased in 1972, which is now called Pandav Bhavan of Delhi. So because it was a big one at that time, so the sisters asked me, Baba had left body, that you better come back to Delhi. And this is how I again returned to Delhi, left my job, and since 72, I am doing Baba's service, as I have already told you. Rest of the introduction is only spiritual, which I will do in my talk. Now, I find from faces that you are from East and West. From which countries you are? I have not been to Greece, of course. To other countries I have gone for some time or the other. Very good. Now they have given me a topic. If you want to listen to a topic, the topic is knowledgeful, careful and cheerful. It's a good topic, full of everything. I think soul cannot be knowledgeful, so we will call it master knowledgeful. But we cannot be master cheerful, so let us be cheerful. Nor we can be master careful, so let us be careful. So master knowledgeful, careful and cheerful in that order. Now, people in the world are also knowledgeable or knowledgeful, but that is in a different sense. They know a lot about Laukik, various fields, and they know from history, which maybe might have been written rightly or wrongly, but this is our sources of knowledge. And then for history they say, history is supposed to teach us a lesson, but the only lesson we learn from history is that we learn no lesson from history. So history goes off. It is all past. Next is, soul by its nature has limited knowledge. God, Shiv Baba, being the seed of the whole tree, has all complete knowledge because God is omniscient. We can become master omniscient in our limited ways. Otherwise, howsoever learned, a soul cannot know about its own past and its own future also. We are sitting here, but we are not sure what will happen to this particular soul after a minute even. So that is our limitation. We are supposed to be like that. Even in today's Murli, there was a point that if Lakshmi Narayan had known the whole cycle, they would have lost the joy of their kingdom, because they will know that they will be going down. Baba gives us knowledge at that point where we are at the lowest. So the only we are back to the wall, the only alternative is to go up. So we enjoy it. Like a person in a prison, learning that he will be freed after 3 months or so. For the remaining 3 months also he feels free, because he looks at the future. But if you tell a person after 3 months you are a king, you have to go to the prison, then he will start worrying. Now, because of our deep connection as per Rama with Baba, the seed, as the roots of the tree, word tree. So by virtue of that, we get from the seed complete energy, sustenance, wisdom, power, whatever you may call, everything. So just as Baba knows the whole tree because of being the seed, we are master seed. So we are supposed not only to know our track about my soul for the whole cycle, but also in general, in particular my track thoroughly, and in general the track of all the souls in the tree. So this is what we mean by being knowledgeful in the spiritual sense. Other things are apart. The more we concentrate on this spiritual knowledge, the more we live in that knowledge, the less we need to know about rest of the so-called knowledge of the world, because this deep godly knowledge takes care of everything else. That is why Baba says, Baba and Baba alone. Other is just venturing into side lanes. And Baba has said in the last Murli that how the reins of the horse become loose when the rider starts seeing the side scenes. It means if we don't see the side scenes, we are just concentrated, then we will be more knowledgeful in the practical sense. Otherwise the other knowledge will interfere with this knowledge. We will be mixing the sense with some water or some low type of adulterant. And then the knowledge can, we can waver, we will not be concentrated, we will not be focused and so on. There is a story in the Indian scriptures that the 5 Pandavas were learning archery in the forest from their guru. And all the 5 were asked by the guru, Dronacharya was his scriptural name, to focus and aim at a sparrow sitting on a tree, branch of a tree. So they all focused on that, their arrows. Then at that point of time the guru asked, what you are looking at? So the one Pandava said, I am just looking at the tree, the branch, the sparrow and nothing else. And like that, three more replied similarly. The Arjuna, who was the best marksman, he was asked the same question. And he said, I am looking at the eyeball of the sparrow, nothing else. Which means he was more focused. Just as you mark on some bull, some circle, and there is a bull's eye in between, and the one who hits the center of that is expected to be the best marksman. And why it is called bull's eye is anybody's guess. But because compared with the cows that the sisters are compared with, Brahma Baba had a male body. So that is the focus Brahma Baba had. So we are also supposed to have the knowledge and the focused knowledge. That is how we become knowledgeful of the 3 aspects of time. How does it help? Then, because we have advanced knowledge of what is going to happen and what had happened and why each of us and our whole world is in a particular situation at a particular point of time. Only we, Baba's children, are revealed that. And as it unfolds, we find, yes, it is happening only according to that plan. So, we don't get cheated, deceived by our own senses or by any outside information. So, knowledge, this knowledge is actually the greatest power. And the more prayer of knowledge you have, the more you will be enjoying it, because it gives lots of joy. And if any disturbance comes, instantly it can go away. Just if you repeat the knowledge in a sense in your mind instantly. That is why they say, those who keep on spinning the discus of knowledge, they will be always happy. Maya will not come closer. Maya means any type of outside intrusion. If it goes on spinning regularly, then there will be no body consciousness, no limitedness, no eye consciousness, and living only in the present Kaljuga. You will be moving through all these yugas instantly and enjoying the drama regularly. That's why it is shown as one of the adornments of Vishnu, this cycle. And Vishnu is nothing but our aim and object in the 4 arms, male and female form. That is how we have lived so many births in the drama cycle. Now this is knowledge. You can call it wisdom also. Because in Baba's language, knowledge and wisdom mean the same thing. But in the worldly sense, there is a lot of knowledge, but hardly any wisdom. They say lot of heat, but no light. So like that it is. So it is synonymous with wisdom. So they say wise people in the beginning of the world or somewhere, wise men went on horses and this and that. All those stories relate to us because our mind is like a horse. Now, where is this knowledge contained in us? Does the knowledge live in our eyes, nose, hands, heart? Where? Is it a physical, any physical faculty which holds this knowledge? Or in books, in our diaries, in our cassettes, where it is held? It's an easy question, all of you will be knowing. So this knowledge is held in our faculty of intellect. Okay? Very nice. Intellect holds the knowledge. Now say, there is a big treasure of knowledge held by an individual's intellect. Very big treasure of knowledge. It is just like a big treasure of money in possession of some big person. Okay. The question is, how this knowledge will be used? How that money is used by that king? So you have different kings using money in different ways. There is a great Aga Khan. Look at his lifestyle. There are many, many great rich people. Look at their lifestyle. So you will notice that to have money or wealth is one thing. Those who don't have, that is not the question. The question is you have. And to use it is another thing. So we may have plenty of knowledge. In the scriptures they say, Ravana, that is the arch enemy of Vishnu, had lot of knowledge. He had read all the scriptures, all the wisdom. But then, knowledge, intellect is a double-edged weapon. It can be used to, like a knife, it can be used to cut fruit and vegetable. It can also used to be cut anybody's nose, you see. So therefore it's a double-edged weapon. There may be good possession of knowledge. Just as a person holding a very good status, the president of the USA. But how he uses that status depends on the incumbent. If he is benevolent, he will use in a different way. If he is cruel, he will use it another way. If he wants to possess and have authority over the whole world, he will use it another way. So, it is not only important to have the knowledge, but also, more important is the way that treasure is used. Those who, scientists, who make very good things of utility for the humanity, they are also scientists. And those who are making weapons of destruction of the entire humanity, they are also very intelligent scientists. The intellect is there, but it becomes perverted. So unless the user, that is to say, the one who actually uses that possession of knowledge, the intellect, the point from where it comes out, the tap of the tank, unless that is pure, and if that is not perverted, the knowledge will be used in a different way. Knowledge may be good. I may know about the moon. I may know about the three worlds, even the BKs. All BKs don't use that knowledge for the same purpose. You will find some use purely for spiritual purposes, some also use it partly for Laukik purpose, and some can use it in a negative way also, using the point of knowledge, but practicing something different. So Baba says, children, you are only concerned with remembrance and jnana. I don't mind if you go about and move about, go to Switzerland, have a joy ride all over the world. So the one who has such liking, that will pick up only that point. Oh, Baba has told me that you can go anywhere in the world. Like some time back, in Murli's game, that some BKs like to watch cricket. Now since then, some of them have taken it as a license. Baba has permitted us to watch cricket matches. They don't understand that the time gone in that, and you are taking sides with India or Pakistan or New Zealand, is against our jnana, because for us, the entire humanity is one. If I start watching a cricket match and hoping that India will win, I become partial instantly. The sportsman spirit is nowhere to be found in the world, because the minds are different. So what I want to say is, we have to have a pure intellect before collecting the treasure of knowledge, or whatever we have got, how we have to use. This brings us to the second point of our topic, careful. If you go on earning and there are some leakages or some thefts and robberies, everything you earn, most of it goes away, then mere earning is not good enough. You have to safeguard it also. Similarly, if you are carrying water in a bucket and bucket has holes, first you should plug the holes. So therefore, careful means the person who has no aim and object in life, the person who doesn't want to accumulate their treasures, the person who is hand to mouth, lived for today and not bothered for future, not far-sighted. For them, careful means nothing. They are careless. And they think that carelessness gives them joy. Why be careful all the time, be attentive all the time, be serious all the time, concerned? Let go everything happily, this way or that way. Everybody has to leave body, but how does it matter? And it can be extended. When in golden age, everybody will be happy, nobody will be peaceless, everybody will have, how does it matter whether I am a king or a subject? It can be extended. So there, and then, whatever is in the drama is going to happen, I can't change the drama. They can have all the 101 ways to be careless. So therefore, for them it means nothing. But for those who know that between the first day of golden age, 111, and between the last day of silver age, let us say 31-12-2005, 2500, there's a lot of, half of the drama is played. And Baba gives us our inheritance, all of us, full inheritance right at the time of birth. Okay, children, you are born. A child is born to a king, is the inheritor of kingdom. Here it is. But take care. What I am giving you, keep it safely. If you make foul play, some of it will go back. So we have not to earn marks, but we have to be careful that we don't lose marks, whatever we have earned. So that is the way this jnana works, because it is all inheritance. Baba cannot distinguish between child A and child B. As the child is born, yesterday's Murli, as the child is born, he gets inheritance, unlimited inheritance. Okay, here it is. Birthright. But even the princes, when they grow up, most of them retain it. Some of them increase their inheritance. Some of them reduce and may lose their inheritance also. So therefore, inheritance is given with certain precautions. Just as a doctor gives medicine with certain directions. If you want to retain your full inheritance in this forest of thorns, in this world of robbers and thieves, in this rule of Maya, where even the atmosphere is negative, where you can't have good company, you have to observe certain disciplines. In the same way, as a deep diver in the ocean goes down the floor of the ocean, but takes all precautions that there is no attack or no trouble or no disturbance, and at the slightest indication can be pulled up. If a person goes to the moon or any other planet, takes care that he can come back, otherwise gone. Similarly, it is inheritance given, but with certain conditions. A cloth is given, you have to keep it clean. Similarly, Baba has said, it is most essential that there should be no dust on the mind. So any dust gathered, because the world is full of dust, so you must clean it up next morning. That is, wash it in the shower of Gyan. So any soul that misses any murli or is careless in listening to the murli will automatically lose what was given. How Brahma Baba got number one? Missed no murli. Here Shiv Baba speaks, here he listens. No chance of missing the murli. But he was lucky to be Brahma Baba. We are not, because he worked so. Mateshwari also. The condition is from the day of your birth as Brahman to the day of your body, leaving the body. Or end of the drama, whichever is later. So you have to see that godly versions, which are meant to keep intact our inheritance and keep our mind clean of all the adulteration, artificiality, imitation, whatever. So that is number one. Number two, now the time of end has come. So Baba says, constant remembrance. But at least the Amrit Vela that Baba has prescribed, even if a doctor prescribes to a cancer patient, look, you have to get up at 4 and take this medicine and don't take anything at all for 1 hour, keep awake. Patient will be doing as if a snake is there in his bed, will get up. Oh no, but that is out of fear. This is out of love and understanding. So therefore, simple disciplines, not big plans, by the end of 3 months I will do, next year I will do, they are not going to work. Day to day, simple directions Baba has given. You know that Baba spoke about the dadis. What Baba said? Why dadis attract people? Why they are special? There may be people, even in the Brahman family, who in the worldly sense know better English or can talk better logic and whatever they can do, they are better possessed. But dadis are why? Baba said, they have followed each and every Srimat of Baba. See, they may be looking so simple. Yesterday, I came to Pandav Bhavan with Dadi Prakashmani. She was to meet the NCOs. So Dadi on a wheelchair takes round of the whole campus. I just accompanied Dadi to the kitchen. So there is one sister called Bholi Dadi. You might have also seen, old lady, who is in charge of Baba's kitchen right from day one. She has become aged. She was sitting on a chair. As soon as she saw Dadi, she got up, smiled. Dadi said, okay. Her smile face glow with more joy. And then with her own hand, that lady touched Dadi like this. Okay. As if all her tiredness, all her everything gone, she is as refreshed as she was ever. Then Dadi's chair went further. Munni sister, who accompanied Dadi, she asked her, are you happy? Then she said, where is the question of being not happy? Shiv Baba is with me. And you can imagine, for the last 70 years, she is doing the same job. Every day she goes to Dadi, tells the menu, she suggests, this is in stock, this is in stock. She has become experienced, but still the system goes. She suggests, Dadi says, okay. If there is any change, and brings it back. And any individual may go and ask anything from her. She says, supposing I go and say, Dadi, I want a lemon. She will get up and get you a lemon. So when the 50th anniversary of the senior sisters was celebrated, there was unending clapping for her, going on and on and on. You can imagine what will be the marks registered in Baba's register for her. She may not know anything of the world or Iran war or anything, but she has just focused, Baba, me and that. My Laukik mother, who left body 3 years back, we started in Gyan in 1955. So Baba told my father, you must become detached, no attachment. So my father decided, in those days Baba used to say, have centers in the pilgrim places of India, religious. So there is a place called Mathura between Agra and Delhi. That was a pilgrim center. So my father opened a center for her so that she stays with other sisters and he continued in Delhi. Now that lady, Baba had posted her there. Later on she became old. Once in the Diamond Jubilee of the sisters also she came. And normally she cannot sit and has to move. But that day she was kept sitting. I have got that photograph. How cheerful, how Baba loved her. When she became 93 years of age, 4 or 5 years before that I told, now, Mataji, you are old. Why don't you come to Delhi and just stay? No. Baba has given me this job. And she will be lying with all ailments, but you give her a student, new student, she will forget everything, start giving him course for 1 hour. We will say, Mataji, now stop. This is the power. Just Baba and nothing else. So we may be thinking we are very big people running about talking and lecturing, but the focus and the love that they generate for Baba, and once Baba say this, nothing else, we have to copy from them. We may be having some extra points, but we have not to miss that. So therefore, life of a karma yogi, life of a trustee, life of an instrument, not owning anything, not being underground always, incognito, helps a lot. Simplicity helps a lot in spiritual and power. This is my experience. And you will really feel that power in times of need. And Baba will help you. Because if we are obedient to Baba, because Baba doesn't say us these things just for the sake of obeying. Baba knows these are very essential. Even Murli, listening, churning, and repeating Murli in a class also. Am I doing it as an instrument? Or am I trying to be smarter than other students so that everybody should think I can remember the Murli more than others? Even that is also not good. You have to be trying to test the teacher. Supposing a new teacher comes, a young sister is appointed a teacher of your center, and a student may be smarter than the teacher. Many times it happens. Teacher of the President of India may still be a teacher, but he has become president. But so long as the student is a student, there are certain disciplines to be observed. Trying to help the teacher and not trying to test the teacher. There are so many subtle points. I have money, I donate money. How should I donate money? Do I donate or I am becoming entitled to donation from Baba? Baba says, I am supposed to give to all. If you do something special, then you are entitled to get more, naturally. Any employer or any big organization has thousands of people working for them. But according to their entitlement, they get. So we are only giving to get. Supposing I get even a small feeling, I am running this center, I donated more to this cause, or I am a little showy, that instead of putting it in the box, it is better to give and envelope to someone so that others should see. All those things go against spiritual entitlement and power. So instrument means instrument. And instrument can never fail. Supposing there is an apparent failure. Many times, even now, in the last 3 months, I have attended 6 mega programs of India in different parts of the country. At 3 places there was a test. Everything is okay, going on. Suddenly at the hour of the program starting, there is rain. And that rain drenches all the chairs. People who have sitting, either they take out umbrellas or they go in the shelter. The VIPs on the stage, they also feel, and they are thinking, perhaps they have done wrong in having it in an open place and like that. And the sisters organizing it are thinking of the next plan, not bothered at all about the rain, because they have confidence it will stop. And all the 3, even the governors of the states were present, and they were asking me, what is this? I think it's very sore, very unfortunate. I said, no, don't worry. At every place after 20 minutes of testing, it never came again, and everything went on nicely. So we will be tested. But if you have put genuine labor and genuine love and all that thing, it will never go waste, whatever may come. So therefore, it is not a worldly type of thing. So we have to be careful, not as Baba has said, in the sense of you become uneasy or you become stressful or you become tense. Baba has said attention does not mean tension. So we have to be careful naturally, because we have an objective and a very, very big stake. Look, in comparison to what we do, how much Baba gives us. But he wants us just as an instrument to do a little bit. So just as you buy a lottery ticket. You know, once a person was a big devotee. He was every day worshipping his deity. Oh, you are so great. Why not you get me first prize in the lottery? So 3 times, he was a good devotee. So 3 times he tried and he didn't get the lottery at all. Then he became little angry. He said, look, my deity, whole of life I have served you and done all the observations and rituals. Still you are not getting me a lottery ticket, prize. Then there was a sound from behind the deity's statue. At least you buy a ticket. You see, he had not bought a ticket even, and he was just worshipping for getting the lottery. Similarly, Baba says, at least you do your bit so that you can get the prize. So similarly, we have to just be instrument, and careful means careful in everything. Because if you are a good driver driving on a very hazardous road and all that, you say, I was careful 99 times, but 1 time I missed, and that is why I am in the ditch. So that careful doesn't mean that sometime you make a lapse. Now cheerful. That is a very interesting subject. One becomes cheerful, even on the world, listening to the word cheer. In this world, because there is hardly any cheer anywhere left, so people have created artificial moments, artificial programs for cheering up. So when they touch the glasses of each other, they say cheers, become cheerful. It is all artificial. They dance to a music. You switch on the music, as per the music, whether it is soul elevating or body moving type of music, it will happen. And as soon as you put it off, you are back to the normal. Like you put the stove on for tea, water will boil, put it off, same. But cheerful, constant, regular, always cheerful. Cheerful doesn't mean up and down. If you see a plane on the sky and it is going up and suddenly coming down and again going up, what does it indicate? So the height is, even going high is dangerous, because it is going to nose dive finally. Just as in one Murli, Baba has very nicely said that even the storms can lift things up, and they can lift leaves, branches, trees, paper, many things. And for the moment a thing is in the sky, lifted, thinks I am in the flying stage, lifted by storm. But when it puts that, dumps that thing back, then you think, oh, that flying stage was not mine. It was deception of the storm. So sometimes a person doesn't have, a BK doesn't have money, and suddenly gets money, and say, oh, this was my life's desire. So I am in the air. But doesn't know, if I leave my basics as a BK, what is going to happen to me? Similarly, somebody is given some position or some work or charge, do this. At that point of time, the person is very happy. Oh, then if that charge is taken back, becomes sad. Therefore, we have to be cheerful, means cheerful always. If you want an example, see Dadi Prakashmani. She now talks little, but through her eyes and face, anybody who goes close to her feels so much happy. She just passes it on. Janki Dadi has said she is doing four types of service through her face. This is Dadi Janki's remarks, and she says, I want to copy her, imitate Dadi Prakashmani. One is, there is love in the eyes. There is support in the eyes. There is cooperation in the eyes. And there is well-wishing in the eyes. We tried to, 2 days back, we tried to ask Dadi, what is it that wherever you go, you may not speak, you may not know, but people start being happy at you. She said, I treat everyone as my loveful brothers and sisters. Yesterday also the RCOs asked a similar question. Again she said, I treat everyone as my loving brothers and sisters. And this comes from her heart. And it is without any motive, without any purpose, because they are Baba's children. And she is one of the Dadis. Baba says, I also bless her. Just her presence is enough. I have seen her go many areas. She doesn't know the language, but just as moths are attracted to the flame, they are attracted. So these things we can also have. We are not supposed to be watching what prayers Dadis are getting. We are part of it. So we can also work on this. Cheerfulness, actually the definition of soul itself is, soul has three things. First of all, it is eternal. In Hindi we call it Sat. Sat means eternal, always living. So there is no fear of death if you practice soul consciousness. Seriously, if you practice soul consciousness, there is no fear of death, not even a feeling of death. In this gyan, today as we sit here, many of our dadis have gone to advanced party. Didi Manmohini is not there, Mateshwari is not there. Chunda, everywhere, these souls, really Rajyogi souls have gone. And we have ourselves disposed of their bodies also. Still, when we talk of Mama, or when we speak of any Dadi, we never feel at all that they are gone. Never. Although we have disposed of their bodies. Because they are so much, the souls are present, and they are globally present, somewhere or the other they are existing. So because we have shed this body consciousness, that body was Dadi, we never had that feeling. And now Baba gives this feeling better, because he comes in another body, and you can feel that Baba is different. And when we talk through that body, we are not talking to that body at all. Therefore, this is the feeling. In this gyan you will experience, there is a joy of meeting, but no sort of separation, feeling of separation, sorrow of separation is not there. You may come here after a year, for instance, to this gyan sarovar, this very hall, You will never feel after coming here and sitting that for 1 year you were away. You will be automatic, that period will be off your computer. You will be only thinking, last year I was here enjoying, now I am here enjoying, and you won't bother for tomorrow. Only when you will go, you will feel, oh, I am going. Even leaving the body. So this is what spirituality can create for us. Because we are souls. So by nature, soul is eternal. And we, BKs, are fortunate that we live in that consciousness. Number two, soul is live. So we are not sort of hardened people without any conscience, without any feelings. We are sensitive to human suffering and sorrow. We are also sensitive to human joy, to human emotions. Because other people have become insensitive. A rich person cannot enjoy in this world unless he ignores the poor around. He cannot really have any feeling of happiness unless he ignores the starving people around. He rather enjoys that I am having all these things and they don't have. If all have, he may lose his joy also. This has happened between the rich people. They may be having a good car, but they never buy a different one. Their joy is gone. Now they want that, better than that. So the idea is negative happiness. But we are life and we have sensitivity. And that is life. If you cannot respond to the situations of the living, for example, now we are vegetarian. When we see how the animals, the birds, the living things of the ocean, like fish, living things of the earth, like you may call it cows, pigs or whatever, or bulls or this and that, and goats and living things of the air, all are killed, and how badly they are killed, how badly they are treated, and we eat them, their dead bodies, expired. We don't want to eat expired medicine. But we eat expired animals. So that, how can we be kind and sensitive? We become insensitive. And then we don't care whether we kill millions, whether we produce bombs even to kill ourselves, or whether we are doing right or wrong, judgment is gone. So sensitivity, the jnani soul, is very, very benevolent, very, very kind, and very, very responsive to the needs of others. And that gives it a joy. The last is bliss. It is the inherent characteristic or property of the soul to be blissful. In Hindi we say Sat, Chit and Anand Sarup. Anand Sarup means blissful. By nature we are blissful. So we are not happy with small joys. A child, if child is separated from parents, you give a toy to the child, for some time, child may stop crying. Then you give a biscuit to the child for a little while. Again he will cry louder and louder because the basic thing is parents. Their protection, their love, which grows the child. Child doesn't eat as much as we eat, but just is fondled. Thrown in the air, fondled, and it grows. And then once we are grown, then you may do anything, you can't grow a centimeter. So this love is the life of child. Similarly, other things are secondary. Similarly, bliss. We may have joy, we may have happiness, we may have some enjoyment through the tongue or the ears or the eyes, whatever. But that bliss does not come. We do something good to someone, he will return to me in exchange. That is also doesn't bring bliss, it's a business. Our expecting that I do good to this person will do good to me. If expectation doesn't come true, I become sad. All these things are deeply rooted in karma philosophy. Our brother, Mike George, he has written an article in which he says, anger is due to laziness. Anger is due to laziness. Can you link anger with laziness? And then he has explained that when a situation comes for our becoming angry, whatever, we have a choice how to respond. There is not just one response. If you don't exercise that choice, the natural instinctive response will be anger replied by more anger, whatever. But we have a choice. If we pause and think, this situation is to create anger, but what am I to do for my good? And as a sensible, wise person, civilized person, then you will perhaps not do what you will normally do, which you think. So because we are lazy, we don't take that choice, we respond to anger in anger, like that. So similarly, there is a lot of space, and someone has said that music is created between the two notes, space between the two notes. Similarly, this space is life, and today we are short of space in our heart, on our roads, in our houses, and we are seeking colonies in that space. Therefore, this particular bliss can be earned in three ways. It is our own property. And you know, likes attract. How we have attracted these bodies? Because the soul is of that quality which attracts from the elements, ingredients which make this body. How a wheat plant grows into a wheat plant, the seed is such, it attracts water, air, everything available in the atmosphere, but according to it, so it becomes a wheat plant and grows wheat. So we attract, even for ourselves and even our surroundings, our friends, our company and like that. In that sense, bliss is our nature. So we'll naturally repel situations, dislike situations, distance from the situation which don't give us bliss. But in a deception, the Maya creates a deception and an illusion that you will get bliss if you have ego. Everybody you will command and you see that they do follow you. It's a deception. Similarly, you will get more bliss if you have more money, you are greedy. Look at all the people of the world who have more money. Are they happier than us? No. So you will find at every test, anger, I can. But you will find first you burn yourself, then only you burn the other. Om Shanti. So bliss can be enhanced in three ways. One is because we are blissful by nature, by remaining more and more in love for connection with Baba, the ocean of bliss. It's a direct supply. Nothing else is required. Second is by serving others. Because relieving others of their ignorance, showing them the path, and whatever effort they do, first of all they will automatically, naturally bless you, that what you have told us is changing our life without any cost. Anybody's life can be changed by this jnana. It costs that person nothing, only thinking has to be changed. Then giving is joy, and getting is obligation. This you will always note. This secret our ancestors, devatas knew. Their name is Devata, means a giver. Now supposing you have to give just $1 or 1 ruble or whatever is your currency, one piece, unit, to another person, how will be your hand placed? It will be like this, giving. And supposing you have to get 1,000 units of the same currency, how your hand will be like this? Give me. So it means like a beggar and it means like a king. So therefore, this is just an external example. Supposing you go to a friend's house and that person gives you tea and dry fruit, etc. How will you respond? You will say, no, it's okay. Say, have more. Say, no. You will pick up a little bit hesitantly as if some burden is coming on you. That person is not charging any money from you, but go on insisting, please have more. And you will say, no. And now you change the role. That person come to your house. You will say, have. You will say, no. The reason is, in giving there is joy, in getting there is obligation. This thing applies throughout life. So, in this whole world, nothing exists for itself. Everything serves and in the process gets served. Everything. This electric bulb is not giving light to itself. And because it is serving, people make electric bulbs. This chair does not exist for itself. It serves, people sit on it, that is why chairs are made. Water in a river flows into the ocean and loses its entire entity. But who supplies water to that river, the same ocean, through evaporation, condensation in the hills? So it's a process. Who does first? If you become a getter, whole life you will be like this and never be blissful. You will be losing all your bliss. And if you have even little and hand like this, royalty, then you will be blissful. So serving others is the way to be served. That is why Baba asked to do godly work so that Baba can give us. Not that we are giving to Baba. So third is balance. It may be an excellent situation, but if we don't keep balance, then at one time we will be up and the other time we will be down. Therefore, balance between body and soul, between material and spiritual, between yoga and jnana, between service and... A balanced person, you know, can walk on a string. Tightrope walkers, they don't fall. But if you are not balanced, situations will come, you will get heavy on one side. Like that. There is this story of a monkey. And two cats had got something, food to take. So they were fighting. The monkey said, I will settle, decide for you. So he put half of it in one and half of it in another pot, and so did so that one side is heavier. So then it went like this. He said, okay, I will balance it. Then he took out something more from this one, and this one went down, and that he was keeping. So all the thing that monkey ate, and these cats were deprived because imbalance. Like advocates in a litigation. Advocates become rich and litigants become bankrupt. Similarly, in this life also, balance is very important to enjoy. There may be very good food, but you should not overeat it. Then you have to be in trouble like that. Then, we should not have negative happiness. Sometimes we confuse negative joy with bliss. There is a story that one person prayed to some deity for some boons. After a lot of worship, the deity appeared and said, yes, what do you want? I will grant you 3 boons. So these materialistic people, they have got their selfish desire of worship for some end. So the deity knew. He said, I will give you 3 wishes, whatever you want, but I will give double to your neighbor. The deity knew his weakness. So the person said, oh, give me a big bungalow. The bungalow appeared. He was very happy. But when he looked aside, the neighbor had 2 bungalows. So all his joy disappeared. Then he said, give me a big car. So car appeared before his bungalow. He momentarily was very happy. that he will enjoy now, ride in this car, live in this bungalow, but then he saw the neighbor had two cars and two bungalows. All his joy disappeared. Then he started becoming worked up. He said, what type of a deity it is? I worship and he is giving double to my neighbor for no reason. This is not good. I will teach the deity a lesson. So then he thought more and more. Then he said, and also to my neighbor a lesson, because he is getting double for nothing. So then the third wish he asked was, deity, you make me blind by one eye, so that the neighbor should lose two eyes. This is the negative joy, you know. So therefore, we should be cautious about it. Now, before I invite questions, I will tell you two more things. We all believe in the law of karma, okay? Deeply, that only as you sow, so you will reap. As much you sow, only that much you will reap. And whosoever sows, only that person will reap. So Baba increases our entitlement so that we can reap more. Baba does not do this for us, like a teacher. Now, knowing and believing and acting in this, is there any scope for desires in our life? Desires. When we know that only, they say, first deserve, then desire, only we will get what we are entitled to. So we should focus only on increasing our entitlement. Is there any scope for desires? Supposing I have not been to Russia and I think other brothers have gone to Russia, I should also go to Russia. It's a desire. Should I have this? For whatever reason. So if you have a desire, it has no meaning, because if you are entitled to it, you will get it. If you are not entitled to it, Shri Baba will also not give you. Maybe it may not be in your interest to do that. Some children, now coming children of Baba, say, Baba, we would have done more pursharath effort if we had come 20 years ago. But Baba knows that if they had come 20 years ago, they would not have been BKs here today because of the sanskara. Now everything is established, people see so many are BKs, Baba is coming, okay. At that time, Baba was not coming like this. Brahma Baba had Baba sometimes and sometimes not. Very few were BKs. There was no BKs abroad. Maybe that the person might have got doubt and gone away. So therefore, having such like things, desires in our own self, second thing, expectations. This law of karma does not leave any scope for expectation. I expect from someone. Because both the things can bring sorrow. And a person seeking bliss should not have sorrow. I have a desire and it doesn't happen. Then that's why Baba says, when you are in company, you are asked some suggestion, give it. But don't expect that it will be accepted. It may be accepted, it may not be accepted. Like a malik, like a authority, you give the suggestion, and like a child, you accept the result. Otherwise, if you start thinking, oh, I had a good suggestion, it has not been accepted, you will be having sorrow. So expectations are from others, desires are from within. If I do something to someone, in this world it is very common, parents bring up children, their own children, but they have a hidden expectation, this child will also return to me. The child may die premature, the child may have been under no circumstances to help, or may willingly also decide that they have done their duty, now I am on my own, whatever reason. So if we do something, that's why the Baba says be instrument. If you do something, do it as an instrument of God. If you have a speciality, think Baba is using my speciality. Many specialists are unemployed. Their speciality is not used. Supposing I know to wash clothes. I don't get job in any laundry. But here, you will be tired, you go on washing clothes, you are overemployed here. So all our doctor may be doing not well in the world, he comes to global hospital, he will be tired of patients. So we are overemployed here, but this is because of Baba's network. Therefore, our specialties are being used by Baba, we should be thankful, but don't have expectations. I have collected so many students, so I must feel, they must acknowledge that I brought the President of India to Mount Abu. You will be lost in a jungle. Lastly, love. Love, is it a virtue or is it a power? You know, at the confluence, we are supposed to get certain powers. Electricity is a power, and this light is a fruit of that power. Electricity is a power, and a refrigerator making things cool is a fruit of that power. This amplifier is a fruit of that power. In Sangam, we get all the powers. Power to concentrate, power to face, you know, all those powers. Power to cooperate, power to tolerate, power to, and so on. In Golden Age, our qualifications do not mention powers. They say virtues. All virtues complete. So powers have to be distinguished from virtues. There is no tolerance in the Golden Age, not needed. No cooperation in the Golden Age, not needed. No power, nothing to face in the Golden Age, nobody you need to face. No charity in the Golden Age, nobody will accept your charity, will not need it. But love is something which is both a power and a virtue. It is here very much needed, it is there also, it will be there. Therefore, this love is very important. And love also spiritual love, you know, naturally. So Baba says, all children love me, I love all children, but there are those who are immersed in love. There are many things, they catch rust only if they are taken out of water. You put them in water, they will be okay. But as soon as they touch air, they get the rust. Similarly, anybody underground will be safe. Fish is happy in the water. If you take the fish out of water, it flutters, feels very uneasy. So therefore, immersed in love. All the Indian pickles, they have to be immersed in oil. As soon as they come out, they get spoiled. They may be immersed and kept for 3 years. Therefore, immersed in love. And then, nothing else is needed. You don't require any other joy, entertainment, happiness, this and that. Love of Baba can get us bliss most easily and unending stock. Om Shanti, now you can ask. I will invite some questions. Alright, what is the sign of a question mark? How is a question mark recorded? You know the sign of question mark? Like this. Very crooked type of sign. And then a dot behind, below. How is exclamation recorded? Exclamation. A big, long thing and then a dot below. Alright. When the question is over, then what is left? Normally, any sentence written, there is no question mark. It will be only a dot. Any sentence written and completed, no exclamation, it will be a dot. As soon as you complete the sentence with a dot, you write the next one with a capital letter, new one. Unless you put that dot, you can go on extending it by commas and dashes and like that. So therefore, Baba says, if you have no question, in Indian language they call it prashan, prashan. Then another word is prasan, then you are happy. So the best stage is to have no questions. What, why, how, where, when. If that is gone, then only dot remains. So if we remain in our stage of the dot, then there is no wonder, oh, how it happened, no surprise, oh, Maya came in another way, and like that. So we have best way to do is not to make very long sentences, keep on putting full stop, and starting new with a capital letter, which means doing cash business and no credit business. If you buy something in cash, it is over. You buy, the person gives the thing, it is over. But if you open an account with someone, keep on noting my things, I will pay you after a month. So you will be also thinking, oh, how much I have to pay. He will be noting how much I have to get. So it is a disengaged transaction. So we are given the night to sleep so that next day we can start fresh. But we don't, because the previous things continue. We are given the various yugas, but still there is a hangover, a leftover burden of the old karmas. So that is on us. Even if we want to start fresh, we can't. The sanskara stands in the way and sways us. So therefore Baba says, complete a transaction, forget about it. Don't engage and hang on to it. Don't make new karmic accounts. Many Brahmins settle old karmic accounts, but they make new karmic accounts of a different type and they think we are free of that. But they don't know they are getting engaged into this. So we should have no exclamation. There is word cycle. I have a theory that just as a magician or a fortune teller, they have a globe in front of them and they have a bent magic rod and they just move that rod over the globe and whatever situation they want to see, light comes and it shows them this lost person who has run away is in this forest and so on. Similarly, we have the word cycle and we have got the Trilok, three words. Three worlds is our geography and four yugas is our history of everything. So whenever any situation comes, you place it on that. If it is a geographical situation, you place in the three worlds, and if it's a history, and you will get the answer and nobody will be able to challenge that answer because that will come correct. So this way questions will dissolve and will not come again. Om Shanti.